Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, May the 9th, and I do hope that you are enjoying a good day in the Lord, been blessed of the Lord to have enjoyed a good weekend as well. My, we had a good day here at the Island Ford Baptist Church yesterday. Thank God for a good day here, morning and evening. We had two good services, and I thank the Lord for that. Good liberty and unction, and I thank the Lord for His blessings and His presence among us. Besides yesterday being the Lord's Day, it was also a day in which we honor mothers, become known as Mother's Day. And as we honored mothers on our morning service, we had a number of people giving testimony and thanks unto the Lord for giving them the godly mother or wife and children that God had given them. And we had just a good time, a good sweet spirit of testimony in the morning service, and then good service in, as well in the evening. And I thank the Lord for that. I did finish up my series. I've been preaching on the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, and I finished that up last night. We started it back in June of last year, and just been preaching on it Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. And, for example, this past Sunday morning, I didn't preach on the AM service. It had been Mother's Day. I preached to the mothers and about mothers, and I've done that a few times, you know, in a specific need or area arose, but most of the time I've been preaching right there out of the book of Revelation, and we finished that up on yesterday evening, and I think, if I've counted right, about 52 sermons out of those first three chapters, dealing primarily with those seven letters to the seven churches of Asia. We had a good time studying that, and I've been blessed with it, and maybe one of these days we might use it here on the radio. I don't know. It'd take a while on the radio, amen, to deal with that. No more time than we have here on these broadcasts. But anyway, we had a good day, and I hope you did as well, and hope you're enjoying a good day today. Let me mention a few things by way of prayer request, and we're going to move right on into prayer time. And by the way, a special announcement. We will be having a guest speaker this Wednesday night. We had a guest speaker last Wednesday. Brother Jamie Brunson from over in Louisiana was with us last week. And this week, Brother Billy Parson. He's an evangelist out of Dalton, Georgia, or actually down there around, Chatsworth. That's where he's at, Chatsworth, Georgia. And, Brother Billy Parson will be here on Wednesday evening preaching for us. And we're looking forward to that. And then we've got a special weekend coming up. We have a annual service here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, an annual ladies meeting. And it's always somewhere around Mother's Day. And this time it's going to be this coming Saturday, 5 o'clock. Our ladies are going to be gathering in. And Sister Carolyn Wells, she is Brother Larry Wells, Dr. Larry Wells' wife. Ms. Wells will be speaking to the ladies. Amen. And they're getting things ready for that, looking forward to that special time as Mrs. Wells will be teaching them, and they'll be having some fun things and special things together there on Saturday. And then Brother and Sister Wells will be staying over with us, and Brother Wells will be preaching for us on Sunday morning, and we're looking forward to that. And you ought to come. If you've not heard Brother Larry Wells, we'd love to invite you to come be with us here on this coming Sunday, Lord's Day, which will be the 15th, and love to have you come be a part of our services here. Brother Wells is a tremendous preacher, pastored the same church, I forgot now exactly, maybe close to 40 years, and now he's in evangelism, and we're honored to have him come and be with us this coming Lord's Day. Brother Parson on this Wednesday as well. But I'd like for you to remember those things in prayer. Then remember those that are traveling. Brother Bell was gone this weekend, going to visit his mother, and we miss him being here present with us, but pray for him. And then his wife and children have been down in Texas. They're going to be there for a while visiting with their son Andrew, and I want to keep them in prayer as well. And then the Grays, Joseph and Amber Gray, were away this week, and the last two Sundays they've been in North Carolina visiting with Brother Joel Gray. And so I hope they've had a good visit, and looking forward to them coming back. Pray that God give them safety as they travel back. And then we do have some that are sick and afflicted. We want to remember them in prayer. Brother Cater Dockery has got a brother over here in the hospital. I want to pray for him, and I want to pray that God touch Owen there according to his will. Also, I want to pray for Kelly McGee that we know of that's in the hospital, that the Lord would touch her in accordance to his will. Brother Woodard here in the church, he was here Sunday morning and yet not feeling good, and then not able to be here last night because he was feeling down a little bit worse, a little sicker. So I want to keep Brother George Woodard in your prayers, if you will. And then Sister Hall, she was here and actually sang in the morning service, but yet she's still recovering from this cold and whatever it is that she's got. And understand from Brother Hall this morning that she was feeling some better today. So we're grateful for that and praise God for that. I'd like for you to keep my wife in prayer. She got back some blood work and looks like that she's going to have a consult with the doctor tomorrow, but it looks like that things are better than they have been, and she continues to improve, and we're grateful and thankful unto the Lord for his hand of protection upon my wife. Keep her in your prayers as well, if you will. And then I do have a number of requests. I know of some young people, young men and young ladies, that are making some bad decisions. There looks to me like they're turning away from the Lord and turning towards the world. And we know of some that have already made that decision. And they're not in the reaping process yet, but that day will come, and we want to pray for them. We want to pray that God might turn them and bring them back to his side and help them that they might get what they need from the Lord. Some of them no doubt need to be saved. Some of them may be saved just out of the will of God. We want to pray that God deal with them as he would need to bring them to a place that they would be right. Also want to pray that God bless this broadcast and use it for his glory and save some sinner and revive the saints and strengthen us in the will of God. Amen. So if you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the good grace of God in our life. Lord, you have been so good. You've been so good to us, and we want to thank you and praise you. Thank you for giving your darling son that we might be saved. You gave the best you had for the least and the worst of us. And I want to thank you for your grace. Oh, what grace and what love bestowed upon us. I remind myself, remember what John said in 1 John. He said, "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Father, you have bestowed wondrous love, oh, what love, unto us, that we could be called the sons of God. We thank you and praise you. Father, I pray that you might move on some sinner today as we are lifting up these names and people unto thee, dear God, that you might bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, bring them to a place of faith and repentance, that they might turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they might believe upon him and be saved by the good grace of God, that they might have their sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would move now, use the broadcast, anoint, and help. Lord, do touch these people that we were talking about, Brother George Woodard. Would you strengthen and bless and help him? Father, would you help the Grays as they travel? Would you be with Brother Bale and be with Mrs. Bale and the children there? Lord, bless and meet their needs. Touch Mrs. Hall, strengthen and help her, Lord. I do pray. Touch my wife, continue to help her, and thank you for how you have helped her, Lord. I pray continue to and get the glory again, Lord, that you might meet with us on this Wednesday and upcoming service on Saturday and Sunday. Just have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go to a good song, and then we'll come back with a message from the Word of God. We're looking at Titus chapter number 1, verse number 8. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 8, and we'll be right back after this song. Well, amen. I trust you enjoyed that song. Who rolled the stone away? And that was the Shepherd family singing that song. We heard the Primitive Quartet sing that, and we really liked that and picked that up and just sang it ourselves. And my, what a blessing. I'm glad our Lord is alive and well. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, I said we'll be reading today from Titus chapter 1, verse number 8. As you probably remember, we've been dealing with 20 characteristics of godly leadership. We're looking at these different characteristics found in Titus chapter 1 and in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. There are qualifications given for a bishop, for deacons, and for widows. And so we're tying those together and showing how that there are 20 total when we put them all together. 20 characteristics that we believe that God would be pleased with in leadership people, all right? And I'm using this not just pastors, not just preachers, not just presidents or senators, but even moms and dads. You're leading. You are leaders. Somebody's following you, and you ought to try to apply these in your life. And we've dealt with 18. We're on number 18 of these characteristics thus far. And the Bible says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. We've looked at that already. And then sober, we've looked at that. Just, that's what we're looking at today, the word just. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Now we're at the final three, and these are the final three, just, holy, and temperate. Just, I've called this being just and upright, and dealt with the fact that this word translated here as just is Strong's number 1342, and it means equitable in character or act. By implication, it means innocent, holy, absolutely or relatively. And so we're talking about being right or righteous. This Greek word is translated in the King James Bible as just, meet, M-E-E-T, and right or righteous. And it's found some 80 times in the New Testament. These four words all having the same contextual meaning. Now, I said, first of all, that in order to be just, one must be pardoned. We talked about that on Thursday of last week. In order to be just, one must be pardoned. You know why? Because men and women, boys and girls, are sinners by nature. Sin just comes natural to us. Amen. We've got to have a changed nature in order to live holy. I said it this way. I don't believe that anyone can be just who has not been justified. Amen. We've got to be justified. We're made righteous through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, once you have been saved, you should be a just and righteous and holy person. Amen. So we're talking about being just and upright. To be just, one must be pardoned. Then on Friday, I got to talking about being just in private. And I said we would go to being just in public. Well, let me say a few more things about being just in private, and then I'll go on to the final point. But in my previous point, talking about being justified, I said I don't believe that anyone can be just who has not been justified. Now, I'd like to expand upon that and say that I also believe that everyone who has been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ should live a just and upright life. Amen. In other words, saved people should accept the truth, believe the truth, and live and practice the truth. We shouldn't live a lie. That is, we shouldn't preach one way and live another. Amen. We shouldn't say one thing and do another. We cannot be just if we're not true. Amen. Now, I ended the program on Friday having you search your heart and your life, asking you to do that very diligently, that you might weed out hypocrisy from our personal life. And I mentioned to you that our Lord had some very harsh things to say to those who pretended to be just, but inwardly they were unjust. He called them Pharisees and hypocrites. Whoa, he said unto you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. In Matthew 23:28, he said, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You see, if a man has been saved by the grace of God, he has been made just by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible declares several men in the Bible to be just men. These men were not justified by their deeds. No. They might not have known or been known as just men by their deeds, but God did declare them just because of what was in their heart. An example of 10 people whom the Scripture declares just are these. Joseph, the husband of Mary in Matthew 1:19, God called him just, said he was a just man. Abel in Matthew 23:35 said he was a just man. Jesus is called just in Matthew 27:19 and other verses as well. John the Baptist is called just in Mark 6:20. Zacharias and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, are called just in Luke 1:6. Simeon was called just in Luke 22:25. Joseph of Arimathea was called just in Luke 23:50. Cornelius was called just in Acts 10:22. And finally, and most unexpectedly, was Lot in 2 Peter 2:7. He was called a just man. Just Lot. Now, since we can see that being just does not come naturally humans, but must come as a supernatural cleansing from the second birth, we might also agree that being just in our private life will take some diligence and some labor and effort. I believe that we ought to read our Bible. We ought to read it every day. I believe we ought to have prayer life. I believe we ought to attend church faithfully. We ought to have a heart that worships God. We ought to have a heart and spirit that fellowships with Jesus on a regular basis, daily basis, in order to keep us clean. Now, not to keep us saved, but to keep us clean and to keep us right with God. We need to work on having the right kind of spirit and the right kind of heart that we can maintain that just and holy life that others can see it as well. Amen. Now, this especially deals with walking in the light that God has given you. It is possible to be right with God in the limited light that you have. But when you are given additional directions from the Holy Scripture, when you're given additional illumination by the Holy Spirit, you must walk in that additional light in order to remain in the will of God. If you reject God's instructions, you're still saved, but you're no longer right with God. Now, I'm talking about being right in private. Let me hurriedly go to the final point, talk about being right in public. Now, this final point is the point that I believe Paul was making with Titus when he's talking about the one that would have godly leadership characteristics. He has dealt with anger. He has dealt with the desire for money, that the godly leader must quell that anger and that desire for money. Then he moves to point out the fact of being fair to others. Amen. I believe that he is specifically dealing with the way the godly leader relates to others over whom he might have some authority. Being just, being right in dealing with others. Sometimes we have to make decisions among and between people. And especially if you're a pastor or even as a parent. Sometimes you got to choose between the children, which one you think's telling the truth and which one's the one that actually maybe caused the disturbance. And you got to deal with them. You can't deal with them in favoritism. You've got to deal with them justly. You see, we are living in a time when we often hear of those in authority taking advantage of their position. In that taking advantage, sometimes they abuse or misuse those who are under their authority. Can I say this should never be done in the church by anyone, but especially by the pastor? We've all heard and perhaps have known of some preachers and teachers who once railed against things such as short dresses on women, earrings on men, fornication and adultery. They railed on those until their son or their daughter, when it comes to them, then they seem to learn how to overlook such things. They seem to learn how to tolerate such things. Can I say to you, this is not right. The Bible is true, whether it hits you or me, or my wife, or my children. Amen. The Bible is right. And anything that is against the Scriptures is always wrong. And the Scriptures are always right. It will always be that way. God is looking for some people who will believe the Bible and who will live the Bible. Romans 1:17 says this, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. A great example of being a just man whom God could use in some form of godly leadership is the man named Joseph. He became the husband of Mary and helped to raise the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Mary was pregnant outside of wedlock, and he knew that the child was not his because he had been chaste. He had been pure in all of his dealings with Mary. Apparently, Joseph was unsure about Mary's claims about being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and conceiving a child who was to be the very Son of God. By rights, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. He could have given her a bill of divorcement, since they were not actually married, but only espoused to be married. But Joseph loved Mary, and Joseph wanted what was best for her. So he thought that he might send her away privately, not making a scene, but just being discreet. However, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and informed him of the validity of Mary's claims and gave him instructions to go ahead and marry her and to name the child Jesus. You know what Joseph did? He did exactly what the angel told him to do. You know why? Because Joseph was a just man. I want to ask you today, are you a just man or are you just a man? Amen. Are you a just man? Are you serving the Lord in all the light He's given you? Are you surrendered to His will? I hope and pray you are. Thank you for listening.